Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell. Back to throw. First and 10. The pass is tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has got three. 22 to Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. Good Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of golf on. Yeah. Got to watch that. We have great weather here in South Florida, but I did see there was some nasty weather across the Northeast, so I'm sure a lot of people just sat in the couch like I used to do when I lived up there.
Yeah. It is like officially summer.
Like here.
Not to sound like that idiot, but no, it's so, like, I went for a run on Saturday and I thought my life was going to end. I was sucking
all that humidity. We've been without the humidity for so long.
Exactly. Now it's starting to roll back in. It is back for sure. There was some NBA action too. We're going to actually get to that. We'll preview some of the NBA playoffs as they start next weekend. NHL preview for the playoffs. Who's got a chance? We're going to dive deep into that.
Raja's got the scoop.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's going to get into that. Giancarlo Stanton making news again, not the way you want to. WrestleMania was on last night. I saw a lot of tweets going about that, so we'll have to get the scoop on that. But first, I have good news and bad news. I'll give you the bad news
bad
first.
News, please. Yes,
so on this podcast, Wednesday before the Masters, I gave out my picks. I don't know if you guys remember. You remember
Harry Potter Jr., you had a lot of lefties.
Yeah, yeah. The lefties played that. The one guy I didn't give out, I actually had. But, so the bad news is, actually, some of the guys I gave out, Steve Stricker.
Furyk. Yeah, and they didn't even play.
Right. Which I was so mad at my sports book, because I'm like, well, why would you even give the odds on them if they're not playing in it? Ended up losing that money. Right?
You lose that
I
money?
I lost that money.
If they don't compete in the field, you bet, and then you lose the money.
I lose that money. Good news, I had Patrick Reed.
My man.
At 70-1.
Where are we eating,
baby? Bam.
Is it McDonald's money?
No.
Like Chili's money?
No. We're going. Actually, I have some gift cards here, too, so I can use that as well. We're going to Ruth Chris.
Ruth Chris.
I've never been there.
And you can take the wine home. You can cork it up if you want.
I didn't know.
Cork it up.
Yeah.
Let's
That's
go.
What you do when you get old and you have to be home in bed.
You got him at 70-1, huh?
Yeah, 70-1. Now, I have all these people, because I put it out before the round started. I'm like, hey, I'm rooting for Patrick Reed. You know, I got money on. Because there is no way I'm rooting for Patrick Reed to win if I didn't have a bet on him because of his history. Are you aware of his history?
I mean, I love him at the Ryder Cup. I mean, he looks like
he's a boss. Like, he goes out there and he just wants to win.
Right. He went to Augusta State. Like, he.
Yeah, but there's a little more to the story.
I don't know the backstory.
I'll fill you in. All right. Because a lot of people may not know this as they're watching it unfold. So Patrick Reed started his career at the University of Georgia. Great golf program, fantastic golf school.
Yep.
He got busted cheating.
Oh.
Yeah. Like in a golf round. So apparently his ball was way in the rough, and then he went up to it, and he found a ball, and it was like perfect lie.
Right.
And his teammates called him out on it. So that was like one issue. Then he had two arrests for drinking under the age, which is not a big deal, but it's like, all right. Twice.
Once. Not drinking, not DUI. You're just
drinking
underage.
Underage drinking. Exactly. Not that big of a deal. But he ended up leaving Georgia. Like, he got kicked out of Georgia.
Right.
Then he goes to Augusta State. And apparently there, his teammates had a vote to kick him off the team because he was such a jerk.
Oh, so he's a
prickly.
Yeah, prickly dude. I love it. Okay.
And they were doing some stories on him after. And he hasn't talked to his parents since 2012 because they had a dispute over the girl he ended up marrying. Like, so he's estranged from his family.
Wow.
Like, it is a...
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's... Like, all the guys that they asked on tour, everybody's like, well, I don't really know him. Like, he doesn't play with anybody. He doesn't practice with anybody.
Yeah,
but I think that's actually...
Clearly he's not working out with the rest of them.
No, but right? I think that's what kind of makes him... Like, this, he's got this edge, and he plays with a chip on his shoulder, and it's not your traditional, oh, nice shot, like, clap, golf clap. It's like, I want to go out and destroy everybody and screw all you guys. I'm going to go out and play, which is one of the reasons I liked him going into the Masters.
Yeah, well, you got to have that kind of attitude sometimes, especially in a tournament like as big as the Masters. I think you kind of changed my opinion on the dude, though. Like, I didn't know any of that about him. Like,
but so now you don't like him, or you...
I still enjoy watching, like, and Sunday was kind of Ryder Cup-ish for me, the way those guys were going, like, shot for shot in the crowds. And, like, that's the way I enjoy golf. Like, so that's why I always get so salty when guys are talking about, oh, they talk about my ball. Because I like that atmosphere, and it felt like that. And I like him in that atmosphere, you know, like, in that environment. But I root for good dudes. I like good dudes for the most part.
Me too.
Like, and, You know, that's unfortunate.
I would have never been rooting for him if I didn't have money on him. Like, I would have been rooting against him. I would have been rooting for him to choke instead of going nuts while he's out there.
What about the banning of the red shirt, though?
Let's get to that. Yeah. Let's get to it right now.
What we learned.
All right, we learned that despite being banned from wearing red, as you just mentioned, and listening to Imagine Dragons when he wakes up, I didn't know that little nugget.
They highlighted that late in the round yesterday, and when he won, Nick Faldo used an Imagine Dragons lyric.
Did he really?
Yeah.
So I was watching. I went out to dinner last night.
Corny.
We had it up on the bar, like, so we didn't hear it, but we were just watching.
Does it add
Imagine
to his
Dragons
prickliness?
It's not a band you can, like, drop the song lyric and people would know. Right?
Their lyrics are pretty deep, though.
I was actually at church
yesterday.
What is an Imagine
Dragons
song?
Wait, really?
Yeah. You don't know what an Imagine Dragon?
No, what would a song be?
Let me look up a song by Imagine Dragons.
See, none of us can say it off the top of our head.
That's what I was saying. Like, if you want to drop a Beyonce lyric, people are going to know. That's like Oasis. That's like from 1989. Right?
Nick Faldo said,
oh, okay. I know that. Lightning and the thunder.
So yesterday, Nick Faldo, when he made that final putt to win the Masters, he said, welcome to the new age, which is Imagine Dragons, but it was just the way he presented it.
Radioactive.
Somebody planted that line in his head for sure. But to your question about the wearing red, if I'm Patrick Reed and I had won however many tournaments he had won on tour, I think it was five, and you had been wearing red as a tribute to Tiger in those, and that was your Sunday get up, I would have walked away from Nike and said, Adidas, Under Armour, anybody else, let's go. Let me wear red on Sunday. Like, I did not. I'm a superstitious guy.
Nah.
You wouldn't leave Nike because you're faithful to Nike.
Well, I love Nike. Number one, Nike.
I do too, but
remember your boy, all right? Like that. I don't know. Like, my pod isn't good enough to get free gear anymore. Like, we're not gonna. What the hell? Like, seriously, Nico, what's up, baby? No, but I wouldn't have left Nike before the tournament. Now I win the Masters, and you didn't let me wear that red
today.
No, but real talk.
You're re-up.
Yeah, right now. If I don't know what contractually where he sits with Nike, but you know, the color red cannot be off limits on Sunday. And I love Tiger. I am a Tiger, as big a Tiger fan as anybody out there. And it's almost like having a jersey retired, except it's a friggin' color. And there are no numbers in golf. So you can't tell me that I can't wear red. I understand where Nike was coming from with it. But to your point, if I'm Patrick Reed, I wouldn't have done it pre, like, final round. Too much going on. I got focused on this round. But after the final round, if there's a way for me to get out of this, I am now on the open market.
I can't believe you would go out there and wear that god-awful magenta or whatever
color.
That color they were trying to force down our throats. Which, by the way, every Nike guy was wearing. Paul Casey was wearing it. Rory was wearing it under his sweater.
That's the new color. That's the summer color.
I have no idea, but it's ugly.
It's vile.
It is. What color do you think it is? I think it's magenta. My wife said it was hot pink. I don't think it was hot pink.
It's purply.
Yeah, purpley pinky. But I think that's magenta.
No, yeah, I would say it's magenta. Which is arguably the worst color.
Exactly.
In, like, the entire color scheme.
We'll put a poll up on the Twitter page.
Yes, what color was it?
No, I think it was magenta.
I can't believe you would have worn it, though. I would have worn red and said, I'll deal with the consequences.
How does that work? Does Nike send
you? They lay
you
out your outfits for the whole
You have
weekend.
No say in that.
Apparently not, because he said he's like, and he wore it as a tribute to Tiger.
Maybe not red, but like, let's say they're not going to give me three shirt choices for like Sunday at the Masters.
No,
they're
in
pushing
fact, all the because I follow the. I'm kind of a golf nerd.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed,
this is fascinating.
I follow all these golfers. Yeah. So on Wednesday before the Masters, they'll say, "Here are my outfits for the week," and they have everything already laid out.
Really?
And they're going to wear certain things unless they don't make the cut. And then I guess they'll wear them at home on the couch.
Yeah.
But yeah, they pick them out pre tournament, and they're just going to wear them.
That's interesting.
Yeah, little nugget for you. All right, next up.
What we learned.
All right, we learned that Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler will be in contentions for majors for a long, long time. I think not only these two guys, but you got a slew of guys under the age of 27.
JT,
even 30.
Rory, yeah. DJ.
A slew of them.
John Rahm. All these dudes are. John Rahm might be a little older, is he?
No, he's a baby, too. He's like 24, 25. So Spieth goes out, shoots 8 under 64. He was making a run. Now, he would have been the guy that I would have been all about. Like, I would have been like, this is an incredible story. It's a comeback. He wakes up. He starts just getting after it and is tearing up the course. He was breathing down Patrick Reed's neck. I would have been all about him or Ricky Fowler. So he shot a 567, and he almost got there. Again, one shot away. He was right in the hunt. I would have been rooting for a Reed choke, and I would have been rooting for extra holes. But as it was, I was like, no way am I doing this. But I thought Jordan Spieth, like, I think both of these guys – I think this is the case in a lot of sports, but especially golf. I think it's easy to play when you're Jordan Spieth and you're nine shots back, what do you start the day? Nine shots back? Yeah. I think he was nine shots back. I think it's easy in that situation. Like, yeah. You're already great. Like, just go out there and you're just going to attack the course and say, well, screw it.
Yeah, I throw
as
a number
up. As opposed to Reed playing with a three-shot lead, you get kind of tentative. You play differently. You're like, hey, I just don't want to screw this up.
Yeah.
And it's different. It's a different mindset.
It's all mindset. It was exactly what I was going to say. You're right. It's all mindset. And what do you have to lose if you're damn Jordan Spieth, you've won Masters.
Exactly.
You're just going to throw, you're shooting at pins. There's no real hesitancy to attack. It was interesting because I listened to Patrick Reed speak, and what he was saying was he had the us against the world mentality. He and his family thought he could win it, and he was leading the tournament on Saturday night. And he said that, and it was interesting because when I played, I didn't listen to the media. I didn't want to know what Danny Cannell thought about me in game six and my struggles and whether I could bounce back in game seven. Like, I didn't need it. I wanted my own pure thoughts. But he was saying that everyone was picking someone else. No one was picking him. So he felt that there was absolutely no pressure on him. And so, I think that early in his round, you could see that wasn't necessarily the case. But that's what he was spewing after the tournament. Was like, look, a little disrespectful. I'm leading the tournament and everybody else is getting picked. No one gives me a chance. So at that point, I got nothing to lose.
I'm like you. When I was playing, I tried to block out the noise. Like, if there was a newspaper sitting around in the locker room, I'd throw it out. Like, I'd move it so I couldn't even read a headline.
Right.
Do you think it's even possible now to insulate yourself? I don't either.
No.
There's so much noise, so much social media, texting.
Yeah.
People can text you. I can't believe so-and-so said this. Like, you can't insulate yourself.
You cannot insulate yourself. And even I could do it because I'd shut my stuff off. Like, if it was a really big game, like, I'd go like complete like zero dark 30.
Like
you're not, you can't get me, except my mom.
Right.
She reads everything. So like, I get a call, I think there was like an emergency or something, somebody's in trouble, and I pick it up and she's like, did you read what that guy said about you in the comment section on an article in the Deseret Sun? And I'm like, Jesus, mom, like, I don't want to know that. Why are you calling me about this? But so I couldn't hide from her, but everybody else I can insulate from.
Come on, moms, insulate us. Help us out. All right, next up.
What we learned.
All right, this one's kind of I think this was a good weekend for Tiger Woods. We learned that Tiger Woods might not be as close as we thought, but he's still not that far off. I think that's an accurate assessment.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he played okay. I mean, he never had his stuff.
Right.
Like, he struggled with the driver. We talked about it on Friday. I thought he would be a little bit closer. Yesterday, he wanted to get the round to even. He missed that goal by one. He played pretty well on Sunday. I think he's right where he needs to be. I think he was way ahead of pace.
Yeah.
And I think myself, everybody jumped on him. I guaranteed that Masters victory, which Debo likes to remind all of our Twitter followers, at Cannell and Bell.
When you put it out there.
I did, and left it there as a pinned tweet, no less. But I think his swing looks good. I think health-wise, his back looks good. I think now this is the great question. I think he'll definitely win another PGA Tour event. Mm-hmm. Does he win another major? And that one I might back off just a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'll be rooting for him, too.
Absolutely. I actually think he does win a major. I was with you in that I was really hoping that he was going to win. But if you're being honest, he is right where he should be right now. I think because he experienced the success right out of the gate a little bit, and he looked better than people thought he would look coming back, we all just wanted that timeline to be pushed up a little bit. But when you're dealing with major injury, and I mean like a back injury for a golfer, and major, he had fusion surgery on his vertebrae, like that's a game-changing injury. There are going to be ups and downs. And so when people come back from injuries, they just think that the trajectory is like a steady uphill climb. It's not that. Like, you're uphill for a minute, and then you might plateau, right? And then you might be back uphill, and then you might, like, regress. Like, it's a steady climb if you're able to get back to where you are. And it's not always on an upwards trajectory. So, like, I don't even think that Tiger took a step back. He just plateaued a little bit. Like, he just isn't steadily climbing. And I think the more rounds he gets, a good Sunday, a different perspective, not on the top of the leaderboard, but kind of trying to have to fight and claw. I think he needs to experience the gamut of emotions and scenarios on the tour for him to have a chance to win that next major, if you will.
And it seems like the only one who had a grasp of that going into the Masters was him.
Yeah, right.
he was trying to tell everybody that, and he's like, no, I'm not. Like, the expectations are great, but I'm not really there
right.
yet. And I'm like, I'm all in.
Me
Let's
too.
Go. All right, next up.
What we learned.
We learned that Rory McIlroy still has some Sunday issues at Augusta he has to deal with in order to become a Masters champion. I think that's a fair assessment. Like, I think I did not like his attitude when he finished Saturday. He started chirping, and he was firing shots at Patrick Reed.
I thought he was trying to play the villain. I was in a basketball tournament.
So he was talking. After his round, he's like, all the pressure's on him. I'm just here to spoil the party. And he tried to play the villain role. Yeah. And tried to get into Patrick Reed's head. And clearly it didn't work. He had a very, very makeable eagle putt early. I think it was the second hole. And he missed it.
Yep.
And I thought from then on, he was just a little bit off. And again, golf is probably one of those sports where it is so hard. Because basketball, football, baseball to some extent, if you have nerves, they kind of go away once you start playing.
You're running, you're jumping, you're getting all that energy.
You're getting hit, you're boxing out, you're doing stuff. In golf, you're just kind of tense the whole time. There's nothing you can do to get rid of it. In fact, I played with guys on tour when they say they have these like crazy outbursts, like throwing a club. They say they almost do that like for attention release, like to let out some of that anger, get some of those nerves out. But I think that's a real issue. And guys, it messes with their tempo and everything.
This is a question. This isn't so much an assessment of Rory or the situation, but it's a question for you because you're probably more avid golfer than I am, although I love it. Who do you think, like on a mental toughness scale of these young guys?
Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed.
I'm telling you, from a mental toughness, like he had that edge. Remember the Valspar? This is one of the reasons I liked him. Remember the Valspar? Tiger was going in the same group. They were going back and forth to try to catch Paul Casey.
Yeah.
He didn't falter at all. Like he was out there twirling his club. Like he was out there just boss.
He's a big enough prickly character that it doesn't matter to him, right?
Exactly.
I worry about Rory when...
I think Spieth is really mentally tough.
Spieth is too. And Rory, I think, when Rory is on, he's able to do stuff with a golf ball that I don't even know that like Patrick Reed... I mean, Patrick Reed might be able to, but Dustin Johnson comes to mind. When those guys are like cooking, like they're all over stuff. But something about Rory... Maybe it was because he hit the scene like so quickly after Tiger, and then he didn't like carry the torch the way people thought he would. I have reservations sometimes about where he is mentally and his toughness mentally, and I don't know that that's fair to him or not. That's just my opinion.
All right, last bonus: what we learned.
What we learned.
That professional golfers are just like us.
All right.
Bubba Watson had a putt for eagle.
Yeah.
Do you know where that putt went? In the bunker.
What?
He putted it in the bunker.
Bubba's my guy.
Yeah, mine too. Like I love watching him play. Yeah. He had a putt for eagle and put it in the bunker.
What hole?
And like for the, I think it was early. I think it was on the front nine. I'm not 100% sure if it was two or the
silly
other.
Long putt that he just
not really. Baked. It wasn't that crazy, but there were two ways to break it. And then was what was kind of bad for Bubba as you're watching it. Like John Rahm had a putt later in the round, and so every time they'd be like, "Oh, this is where Bubba put it in the bunker from," and you can see like he tried to take it over the fringe and go more directly. Oh, but if you went like Rahm did, you go totally like the other way,
right?
But that's like the undulation of Augusta, which kind of gets you crazy. But I love moments like that, like when golfers hack it around.
They're human.
Like, hey, they're just like us.
Those greens at Augusta, both gorgeous and diabolical at the same time. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a more gorgeous set of greens, like a place where even if you weren't a golfer, it looked like you just want to, like, have a picnic on the damn greens. But you put that ball in the wrong place and you're out of luck.
You know who else is just like us? Hannah.
Here's what's happening with Hannah.
Smoothest transition there is. All right, Shohei Ohtani showing out in Anaheim last night. The rookie looking anything but, retiring the first 19 Athletics in order, carrying a perfect game into the seventh inning. The final line, seven innings pitched, one hit, zero earned runs, 12 strikeouts, and all while hitting 99 on the gun on his final pitch.
Ooh,
also, according to the stat WRC+, Ohtani has this... I'm sorry. Ohtani has been the second best offensive player in all of baseball. The Angels are 7-3.
Look, for those who said that cat, and I mean, the jury's still out. It's early. But he looks like he's going to be able to get it done on both sides of the ball. I mean, his stuff was electric. It was electric. That splitter was just diving at people.
It's you breaking down the splitter.
No, real talk. That thing was... If I saw that ball, first of all, I couldn't diagnose as a hitter what ball it was. Like, I wasn't a good baseball player like that. But some of that stuff looks like impossible to hit. I liked his composure when he was out there. You know, he didn't look like, and pitchers tend to be relatively composed to begin with, but dude doesn't look like a rook. Like, and so for the people and all the pundits that were like, hey, well, you know, like Japanese baseball and the major leagues, like this guy's clearly polished. Like this isn't a high schooler coming out. This dude is a polished pro. It's pretty cool to watch.
I love it. I hope he changes the game. I hope we start thinking differently because there are a lot of guys that are good enough to pitch and hit, but old school baseball are like, nope, can't do it. I hope this changes the game.
going over to someone who had the bit of an opposite weekend. Following yesterday's performance, Giancarlo Stanton, now the first player in the live ball era to have two games with zero hits and five strikeouts in the same season. And we're less than 2 weeks in. The Bronx booed again as Stanton now hitting just 167 on the year with 20 strikeouts in 10 games.
Here's the thing.
I don't know what to say about this.
Here's the thing. Yankees fans need to realize, one, you're stuck with him. Like, you're already paying him all this money, so why not root for him? Two, is he strikes out a lot. Like, he's a guy who is a all-or-nothing type hitter. He's very streaky. He's been very up and down throughout his career. Obviously, he's struggling right now at the plate. You're not doing him any help by booing him, only getting in his head.
Bro, Danny,
I'm just going to start pressing now.
I'm with you 100%. Well, what end game is for this guy to be like what he was in Miami?
Yeah.
Do you think booing him in the New York market, in his first 2 weeks, and granted, he's been really bad, but to your point, you know he's going to strike out. I don't know. Like, didn't they run Randy? They ran Randy Johnson right out of town, like with the media and stuff in New York.
Randy got off to a really bad start because he was walking on the street. You remember that video that was going around? He was walking down the street, and somebody like came up to ask him something about the Yankees, and he was kind of a jerk.
Okay,
and the video went viral. And so, like, he got off to a wrong start. Stan's been nothing but said the right things.
I know,
after they booed him
himself.
The first game, he's handled it the right way. I'm worried about him now maybe saying the wrong thing to the media, which I would probably do myself.
No.
But then you can go further down in the doghouse with the fans.
Well, I think
he won't. You don't think he will handle it?
No.
Handle
he,
it right?
I think he's – I've always seen him handle situations, especially with the media, like with the utmost class. And everything – I mean, that guy's been through a lot. He's been up and down in Miami for a long time. And people look at just this last season he had in Miami, which was incredible. It was one of his best seasons. But before that, he's had so many injuries. He's been up and down. You cannot get in this guy's head. He is such a mental player.
Good.
He refuses to talk about a game. Like, he will not.
It's just not going to work.
Right.
But devil's advocate, if they're in the playoffs in October and the opposing fans boo him, isn't that warming him up for that?
I'm saying it's not like he doesn't.
Jesus,
I'll say this.
Like, if you're mentally weak now, how are you going to be mentally strong in the playoffs?
It just wants to be okay with booing your
home
team.
I'm cool with booing.
I just think baseball is a mental game. It's a mental game.
And New York fans turned on A-Rod early because he, because the Jeter relationship. And he never really won them over until late. Now he's won them back.
I mean, honestly, he's really winning there.
We booed Doug Peterson, and now we're Super Bowl champions. I'll just leave that there.
You guys hated that hire.
A-Rod's winning now anyway, so it doesn't even matter. All right, the Odell Beckham Jr. saga seems to be sagging. OBJ expected to be in attendance for the beginning of the Giants' offseason workout program slated for Monday. So it doesn't mean he won't be traded, but doesn't mean he won't get a new deal. It just means that he's going to be there today.
Make that work, Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. Like, do the right thing, bro. Be at everything you're supposed to be at. Be a leader. Your talent's too good. The off-the-field stuff speaks for itself, but being there, being the leader, being the pro that you're supposed to be, don't be jacking around anymore. Make it work.
He's back, which is a good thing that he's there training. He wasn't last year, missed offseason. I'm curious to see if he stays around because he likes to train in L.A., which I don't have a problem with, but all the stuff that's been around him, I think the Giants are probably using a little bit of leverage saying,
he needs to be there this year?
I do. I do think he needs to be there to kind of show he wants to be
correct,
there.
Correct.
Johnny Manziel played an illustrious spring league game on Saturday, and by most accounts, he didn't impress, going 9-15 for 82 yards and a touchdown while taking three sacks. But he was, quote, both attentive and interactive.
Attentive and interactive. I didn't break down the film. I did see the one highlight.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, he was scrambling, which is not what he needs to show. Everybody knows he can already scramble out of the pocket. Like, he made a play off the cuff. Like, it was just a playground play, which is everything he did at Texas A&M and kind of everything he's done in the NFL. He needs to play from a system and show people he can handle a system and read and go through progressions. And I honestly don't know if he's going to get that opportunity in this league. But I would be surprised if some team brings him in and says, hey, we're not going to guarantee you anything, but we'll give you a chance. And that's all he's looking for, which is good.
Yeah, does he have to be that good for an opportunity? Like, he doesn't have to, like,
really.
He shouldn't,
but he comes with a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's the problem. People are going to say, that's the problem. He's not great. So they're like, is it worth it? Is it really worth us getting that media attention? The circus that's going to come with him. Maybe it screws up your quarterbacks that you already have. Like, there's a side circus. So I think that's the problem.
He's married now. Maybe he's getting quiet, guys.
The human side, I hope it works out for him. And if it doesn't in the NFL, like, the CFL or something like that, man. He sounds like he's got his head in the right place.
All right, over to the NBA. The Charlotte Hornets have hired Mitch Kupchak as their next general manager and president of basketball ops. Please edit that out. Kupchak has a decorated career, winning a gold medal and three titles as a player, then five more as a Lakers executive. Now he takes over a Hornets franchise that has failed to get out of the first round since their original term in Buzz City in 2002.
Okay, MJ. Like you're no. I mean, that shows that you are committed to trying to put the pieces in place to be a contender in the East. Didn't Mitch have something to do with Golden State for a while too? I don't want to speak out of turn. Maybe I'm mistaken. Was he an advisor? It doesn't really matter. But Mitch is proven in that capacity and in his ability to do that job, find talent, put pieces together. And so I got to play in Charlotte. We were the Bobcats at the time. Huge basketball town, although it's mostly college. They deserve a winner there. They'll come out, and I think MJ is doing the right thing by bringing a guy who's had a proven track record in there.
Congrats to the Suns. They are officially the worst team in the NBA and have the odds to get the number one overall pick. They have the best odds to get the number one overall pick in June's draft.
It's a young team.
That's their babies.
They add another baby?
It's
good. Like they could be the next Sixers. They could be the Sixers of the West. Or their pieces not that good?
Their pieces are good. I don't know that they fit like the Sixers pieces fit. Like the Sixers hit like specific targets that kind of all complement each other. I've been on record. I said it last year. I don't know that the Suns, like James Jones is there now. He's a bright dude. But for a while they were kind of in this. They were accruing all this talent, and they didn't fit. Like I was like, what's your plan? Where are you going with this? I can't see what you're trying to do. Maybe the pick this year will tie it all together. I don't know.
They have a really good top assistant coach.
Who's that?
That's your boy.
Oh, Jesus.
Boy.
Tyrone Corbin? I need to make up with Ty.
Yeah, you do.
I need to make up with Ty.
We need to have a moment like, who was it, Isaiah and Magic, when they teared up? And
yeah, they have to sit down heart to heart.
Yeah, we need to have that with you and Corbin.
Utah was very interested in your story from Friday.
Were they? What happened?
Ooh, picked up some traction.
Viral. Did they? Yeah, was it good traction or bad traction?
It was good traction.
Yeah. I wasn't
getting
killed.
Credited.
No. Credit the podcast. Say the name. Off the Bench.
All right, lastly, guys, in a crowded Western Conference playoff picture, we have one more lock. The Jazz have clinched a playoff berth while five teams now fight for the final four spots. Meanwhile, in the East, the Sixers have won 14 straight and have won 50 games for the first time since 2001 when Raja was playing for Philly.
Bam.
Yo.
I am officially a Sixers fan. Debo can get into that.
Oh,
I like this team. They're on fire right now. They're young. They're talented. I'm looking for a team that can knock off Cleveland.
That?
What?
Did you hear what?
What
the hell? Oh, it was a bandwagon I heard pulling up. He just jumped on it.
Every time we've talked about the Sixers, I've said I like this team. Why not them?
What is your team, your basketball team?
Heat. I was at the Heat.
Oh, really?
The first game in franchise history.
Were you really?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
I was in high school. We used to go down there and watch Ronnie Cicely, who's now spinning records internationally.
Right.
Yeah, he's a DJ. John Sunvold, Harold Miner.
Are you going to any
playoff
games? We got to go.
I haven't been to a game in a long time, so I would actually like to go. Let's do it.
Neither.
Podcast live from the AAA.
From AAA.
Yeah, let's do it.
Quietly, though. And I'm going to give a little more like fuel to the Utah media.
Yeah.
Quinn Snyder, he's one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Like,
he's really, really good. What he's able to do after they lose Gordon Hayward, and they still have some – I mean, they still have players, don't get me wrong. Like, but the front office there now and some of the acquisitions they made, Ricky Rubio is huge. What he's able to do with that, I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's pretty amazing. Like, that team is playing. And it's not that – I mean, they've got some good pieces. I don't mean to, like, downplay how good the players are. The Donovan Mitchell draft was incredible. Like, but the style with which they play, the way he gets them to buy into what they're supposed to do and the way they need to play to be successful, not every coach has the ability to do that.
There was a tweet I saw. Was it Donovan Mitchell who tweeted out, said something about Quinn Snyder getting coached? If he doesn't get it, coach of the year. Like, he said something. Somebody out there on their team was, like, going bat for their coach, which I love, and said, like, he deserves to be in that mix. The Sixers, so one of the reasons we're talking about them is because they've been on fire, 14 games in a row. I think a winning streak in the NBA is one of the best things that can happen to you, especially at this type of year.
Yeah, this is
because
you
need
to do it.
Some sort of carrot. Like when the Warriors went after the 72 game and they got 73, I thought that was the best thing that happened to Steve Kerr because the team wanted it, and I thought it just kept them motivated. So this streak, I feel, is a really good thing for a team that is young, that can use a little extra focus at this point in the season. When everybody's kind of just jockeying for position, they're just, hey, let's get there healthy. Let's make sure we get to the playoffs. And that's a really – and not only that, but in a momentum sport, like you carry over that positivity into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick which was more important, I'd say it would be the momentum built up. Like if you're going to have a streak, you certainly don't want it to be in like – October, if you can't have another one. You want it to be like right now. You want to be streaking going in. You want to be as hot as you can going into the playoffs. But there, you did hit on something, like a team like the Sixers, to continue to try to maybe beat the team record in terms of a streak or something, like keeping them focused down the stretch when some of these guys are used to playing 30 game seasons, you know, not in their in not too long ago, and now they're playing 82 game seasons, possibly 90 some games. It keeps you focused and keeps you sharp. But the momentum, I think, is huge because you've got some teams that got hot midway through the season. They've fallen off. They've lost their chemistry and their flow. And you know, those teams, it's hard to regenerate that in a playoff series. So you want to be firing on all cylinders. You heard Mike D'Antoni say that, the rest versus playing well debate a week ago, and he thought it was more important to be playing well.
All right, so we got the playoffs. They start Saturday, correct, Ebo?
Yes.
A Saturday, the playoffs start. I think there's going to be some really fun matchups early, which the NBA could definitely use. You know, instead of laughers where you see the Cavs just roll through everybody, right. I think you'll see some much more competitive features. Like, you're going to see better teams. Is there a matchup that you're kind of looking at? Like, anybody's playing the Celtics. Bucks probably most likely in the seventh spot right now playing the Celtics. Like, I think they're getting the gift of the playoffs.
Yep.
Don't you?
Yeah, Bucks beat the C's.
I still kind of, I want to see the Heat Cavs matchup.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of storylines with the Heat Cavs. I just don't, in my heart of hearts, although it defies everything that's been put out, like I don't think that it's going to be as interesting a series as people think. I think Miami fans want it to be. I don't think it will be.
I agree. I kind of don't want Heat Cavs because I just feel like the first couple games will be exciting and then it's going to be like sad.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 4-1 series.
Mm-hmm. I still want to see it go down.
No, I hear you.
Because they're probably going to do that to whoever other team they play.
It's true.
You know, so I'd rather see it go through the Heat. And I'd like to see Dwayne Wade like have a resurgence. But the problem is, in a 7-game series, he can only give you a game or two because of his health. Like he needs time off and can't carry it over. The Sixers, Debo, who do you want?
I want the Heat.
You do?
Yeah.
That's the
matchup. I can go to the games.
That's right. That's the only thing. So not necessarily
the selfish reason. I think the Heat are beatable.
Yeah. No, they're for sure.
Bucks are a little scary.
All right. Then we got the West. The West, I think it's just get me to the Western Conference Finals. That's all I'm looking at when I watch it.
You? Yeah. I mean.
Any compelling matchups for you?
Well, I mean, it's so like turbulent down there at the bottom of the West. 5-9 right now. You don't even know who's in. So. I'm on record as saying if I'm Houston or Golden State, I do not want to draw Oklahoma City. If I'm Golden State, let's say, right now, I do not love where I'm sitting. I do not want to play OKC without Steph Curry. And Minnesota would be a scary thing for me, too, if I was either Golden State or Houston. I know they haven't played well as of late, but when
Jimmy Butler
back in the mix – they become a really dangerous playoff-style team with the type of star power, one-on-one type of players that they could potentially have and if they lock down defensively. So those two teams I don't want to see, and it's interesting that they're both sitting at 7-8 against the top two teams in the West. Portland, a sleeper out there. Scary. Portland could be interesting.
All right, so we talked about the teams that are going to be matching up in the playoffs. We know one team that will not be in the playoffs. That's the Clippers.
Right.
There's been a lot of talk about blowing this team up. You've seen a lot of the big pieces move on, as you saw Blake Griffin get traded, Chris Paul. There's one guy still standing, it's Doc Rivers. Like, after five seasons, is it time to make a move?
I don't think
it's... Some people have been chirping at him. And I know there are guys that might be disgruntled because they're not no longer there. But it's almost like one of those things where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, it's a hard... Look, his job in L.A. the last couple of years, wearing two hats, it's a very hard job. And look, I tried to do one of those jobs in an assistant role, and it was almost too much for me. So to do the head GM job and the head coach job, I could not even imagine. Like, you're spread so thin that your attention to detail on either one of the fronts cannot be great. I know he's got Trent Redden, who was the assistant general manager when I was in Cleveland, to David Griffin. He's out there now. I'm not exactly sure what role he's in, but if he's bringing in talent like that, it speaks to him maybe like just concentrating on the coaching side, and maybe they'll be bringing in someone else. I don't know if they've already done it. Do they already have a general manager? I think he's still
Lawrence Frank is very involved in the front office there.
They need to go ahead and stop making it very involved and make that a separate entity from the coaching staff. And in that case scenario, I don't think you have to get away from Doc. I think Doc's a very good coach, but he needs to concentrate on building those relationships with his teammates, keeping the lines of communication open, which is critical for a head coach to have with his star players. If you have that kind of communication, you generally don't get that chirping. Doc's a cool enough cat. Most of the people that have played for him that I know when he was just coach love him. So we have to get those lines of communication back together, and I don't have the time to do that with you if I'm the head coach and I'm also trying to be the GM. So let someone else do that job. Let him be the head coach. They had some unfortunate injuries when Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre were together. This year, I mean, you get rid of Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, I'm giving him a pass. Like, I don't know that what you expected him to do this year. So, no, you don't have to move on right now. But if you get him a little bit of talent and he doesn't do something in the next couple years, yeah, then probably time to go.
All right. Be interesting to watch, see how that plays out. All right. We're doing our first audible on the show.
Okay.
Because I am making an audible Omaha. On our rundown. Yeah. Omaha is right. Because Debo had scripted in our things to talk about NHL playoff preview.
Yeah. The people want to hear it.
People. Are you sure?
I'm telling
about
you.
That?
I'm telling you.
You want to talk about Sidney
preview?
Crosby getting right. number four?
Well, dang it. You just used the only guy I know on the Penguins. Like, that was the only name I could go to on the question.
They got the Flyers, though, right?
Can the Penguins three-peat?
They got the Flyers. What do the Flyers look like this year?
They look solid.
They're all right.
They're all right.
Hey, can the Golden Knights become the all-time underdog story? Do you know what city they play in?
They play in Las Vegas. So that's a good question, though. The success.
What city they play in? No, that was a good question.
What did I read something about the ticket? They asked the ticket season ticket holders, like, did they ban them from reselling the playoff tickets?
Yeah, they asked them. I think it was called like the Golden Vow.
The Golden Vow.
And they told. See, I love it. Can't put their tickets on the secondary market because Vegas is a town, obviously, where it's going to have a lot of visitors and fans of other teams come in. They don't want – that's cool in the regular season. They don't want that in the playoffs.
They want that home ice advantage.
Yeah.
Hey, so, but for real, though, can the Capitals
– We're talking NHL playoffs every show through
June. Can they overcome their feudal playoff history?
No, Ovechkin. Yeah. Hey, he's the Rocket, right?
Yeah.
The toothless Rocket.
Wait, so for real, which team are you guys really going to be paying attention to?
None of them. See, here's the thing. I don't want to talk about hockey because I don't want to have to fake our way through it. Like, I can't stand when you can tell people don't watch a sport, and I don't watch it at all.
I don't watch it.
I don't think any of our listeners do. If you really want hockey,
I'll pull the receipts.
If you really want hockey breakdown,
this probably
we will get it done.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we'll start booking hockey guests and we'll break it down.
I was watching the Panthers. They didn't make it.
The final.
I'll watch the Lightning.
You will.
I got the Lightning now.
You go to the games?
No.
I've never been. You've been to the games?
All right. So here's.
I used to.
Here's. I'm going to go Penguins three-peat. All right. That's my prediction. But here's what I want to do. So because I want to do another topic. We're going to do topics in a minute. But I'm going to do a special edition of five-star Q&A.
Word.
On Ooh. Monday.
Word.
A little more serious. Okay. But I had a guy reach out to me on Twitter and had a question for us. So okay. Nathaniel Zatcher. Or Zacher. I'm not sure. Sorry, Nathaniel. He tweeted at me this
Nate?
Question. Because I think this is good. I think we can help some people. Hello, Mr. Cannell. First of all, don't call him Mr. Cannell. I don't have to read all the stuff where he says he's a fan of mine, which is kind of nice. My senior year of high school, I'm 19. I missed my high school golf state championship by one shot. I shot 77 with a triple on my second hole. I have a pretty great life, and I'm thankful for everything in my life. But every once in a while, that sting of being that close comes back. Have you ever had a moment like that in your career, either in high school or Florida State or with the Giants? And if so, how do you deal with it? And he also said, also ignore all those haters and trolls out there. You keep doing you. I like that last bit. Maybe that's why I put it on there. But to Nathaniel, I think we've all had those moments. Like, it still stings me. High school, sophomore year, state championship, we lost by 1 point. Buddy of mine missed like a kind of a layup, but he was going through the lane. We still talk about it. Like, it still hurts. I think the key is you don't let it define you. Use it to motivate you, and you'll be able to overcome all those like, everybody has adversity in life that you have to overcome.
Yep. I've gotten plenty of those moments playing basketball where you miss a shot or you do something that could cost you the game. I've had them coaching where, like, I should have called the timeout. I didn't. Kids had a turnover, and we lose huge games at John Lucas tournaments. Like, it happens. My biggest story for me is, like, I mean, I got signed by the San Antonio Spurs. They gave me a full contract, and they wound up cutting me. Like, I was that close to, like, living my dream out, and I got cut. And so, you know, it's not everybody has those moments where you get knocked down, where you don't feel like you're going to achieve what you want to achieve. Like that's it's what you do after that that counts. It's the way you get back up. And this is cheesy stuff, but it's real talk. It's the way you handle yourself in the face of that adversity that defines who you are and ultimately will get you where you want to go. Because it's not in any profession, bro, sports, anything. It's not always peaches and cream, right? It's not always roses. Like you got to figure out how to get up off the canvas and fight.
These are the lessons I try to teach my kids, my daughters. So it was really good because we were watching some of the Masters prep and they were talking about guys who had blown leads before because Patrick Reed had the 3-shot lead going in. And they saw Dustin Johnson when he was at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. And they showed him, like, duff a shot. And I was watching my daughter, and her eyes kind of, like, they lit up.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my gosh, that happened to him?
They do that, too.
And I was like, yeah. I'm like, people, nothing goes perfectly in life.
Right.
Ask anybody. Like, Peyton Manning had an awful rookie year. They were awful. You know, like, he threw a bunch of interceptions. Anybody, don't let it define you. Keep working hard. Use it to drive you.
That's
like,
it.
Use your failures to overcome in the future.
Yeah, man.
And stick with it.
That's right. Keep them right on your shoulder. Keep them in the back of your mind. Always something you could draw from.
Yeah.
What's
good
that
stuff,
Cardi
Nathaniel.
B song? Get up 10. down 9 times and I get up 10.
There
come on.
She came up with that.
Bam.
She came up with that.
I'm just saying it was the first song on her new album. And
bam.
Listen to that, Nathan.
Shout out Cardi. Nathaniel.
Nate, live that
Nathaniel,
best
sorry.
Life.
Yeah. All right, let's do some topics.
You dropped the song, you know.
WrestleMania 34, Sunday night in New Orleans. You guys were locked in, I know.
The Undertaker!
Now this
there?
He did. He came back.
Did he?
Came back.
Now,
just worked. John Cena.
This might be a really dumb question.
John Cena got beat?
No, hold on. We're going to get to
the beat down.
I just have a question real quick. Do you have to buy WrestleMania or is it on TV now? Like, was it pay-per-view last night?
If you have the WWE network, I think
that's what they're on?
It's
like, that's how much I know. I don't know.
I mean, we were all watching.
I watched.
Of course. All right, so
Undertaker back. Daniel Bryan back. The Rock did not show up, sadly. But probably the biggest news. What?
Go ahead.
Let go.
With The Rock?
Yeah.
I know he went to China. Like he was not
in China.
Yeah, he was promoting Rampage. I follow him on Instagram too.
Ronda Rousey,
New Orleans. Ronda Rousey. That's the biggest story of the night. Any intrigue with her switching, crossing over?
I thought the fact that she body slammed Triple H was kind of cool.
Almost.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
He jumped.
She was impressive.
I think it's fun to watch her in a different.
That was her
stage.
First in-ring real action at WrestleMania.
She
looked like she belonged.
I thought. Was she wearing?
She was
a mouthpiece?
Smiling a lot.
She was. Maybe that was it. What was the deal with Cena running out? Like he got somebody whispered in his ear and he ran out the stadium like and left the arena.
It's all dramatic. It's all a show.
Totally is.
I love it.
No, it is. I wish they would stop having stunts like Rousey body slamming Triple H because it almost looks so fake. Like because he does like jump on him.
Yeah.
I get it. It's impressive that she can pick him up and she can hold him on her shoulders, but it would never happen. Like I try to keep it a little bit.
What
realistic.
Would your entrance music be?
I was just gonna ask that.
Well, see, I got to pick walk up music in baseball.
Right. But is it the same if you were
a
WWE persona?
I'd have to come up with a persona. What would you pick? Do you have a walk-up music?
I have a walk-out song.
I might come out old school like DMX. Yeah, I might come out to that. My own rap. That's what I would do. Push them up.
Do you have a song, a walk-out song, Raja?
No.
You've never thought of that?
No.
I've always thought of this.
I put in
really.
I
had walk out like a stride out.
I had some corny stuff.
What's your music?
Baseball.
I can't say the name of the song because it's inappropriate. But the song is by Kanye.
Yeah.
The one that's like. Dun, 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 dun,
gold digger. Is that your song? Are you gold digger?
Do you know what it is?
I don't know the song.
What?
I don't. I don't like Kanye.
Why?
I had this discussion before.
What do you do?
I'm out on Kanye.
No, not that he did anything to me. I don't think he's a bad person. I just don't.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with Kanye.
I'm coming out to this.
Bam! That's what I'm coming out to.
You had yours ready? Come on, get mine ready.
That's my rap. Why it's on there.
And the boys?
Okay. Yeah, we can't. Right, we can't play that.
Yeah, we can't play that.
My song. Sorry.
All right. I think this is going to be the last time that we mention the phrase "dilly dilly" on the podcast. We can retire it after this. Hopefully, it was banned. We talked about from being uttered out of the lips of Masters patrons. But what if they were to wear the catchphrase on their head? So Bud Light, pretty savvy company, handing out green and yellow Masters colored hats just down the road in Augusta for potential patrons to wear at the Masters. What do you think would have happened if they? Or that they're inside the grounds.
They're getting yanked.
They
for
weren't
sure.
spotted in the grounds. They didn't let him
I
in.
I don't think so, because they you would have gotten tossed. Like, if you can't say it, they would have noticed and they would have said, "Ah, that's obnoxious." Look. They're old, crunchy. Although I love them.
It's a beautiful course.
Danny, hit us with your poll that you put on Twitter yesterday about being a member at Augusta.
All right, I'll ask you guys this question because I think this is
because I feel like you omitted one potential option that people.
All right, so my question was, what would you give up to be a member at Augusta National? So you had four options. One, you'd have to give up one of your children. Only if you had multiple children. You could give up a finger. You could give up 3 years of your life. Or you could give up your spouse.
Wait, I would give up none of that.
So that was straight. That was the option that Devo was looking for. But I didn't want that option in there. I wanted
none? A lot of people were just
if
like,
I had to give up one.
Yeah, if you present it like that.
I'd give up a finger.
You would.
Yeah.
So a lot, most of the winners.
What were you going
to say? Yeah,
I'd give up 3
answer?
Years of my life. Like on the back end, like who cares about 85 to 88? Like just give those 3 years back.
What?
I'd give
up. You're like, whatever. Life is great at, from 85 to 88.
Why?
Come on.
You don't need to
That's
do.
When I'm bagging
I'd
groceries at
Publix. I'd rather be
golfing
from 50 to 88. Whatever it is. I'd rather golf
I want
those
that time.
Yeah. The you only, wouldn't give up anything, huh? You'd give no. up. I would consider the
what
finger.
What if you couldn't choose the finger and it was like your thumb?
Well, then it could affect your golf swing.
Yeah,
and then
like,
you're screwed.
I'd have to be able to pick the finger.
Like, this
sounds
like an awful. Who came up with this?
Years of my life.
That was my genius
was
poll.
I know.
It's
I'm
actually
joking.
A pretty tough question.
Hey, 6,000 voters weighed in. So
What won?
The 3 years of your life. People actually said they would have given up five.
Wait, 3 years
to
of your life?
Be a member at Augusta?
Yes.
This sounds like the dumbest thing ever.
A couple people said they would give up all four. They would give up all of them.
As someone
all four
who's
kids.
Not married.
They hate their life.
Yes, yeah. They do.
Well, clearly. Then those guys were single, so they said clearly. It was basically
say,
equated to a finger. And
oh, they give up
life.
All four choices. I got you.
Yeah.
I'm single. I have no children. I would easily just take either of those.
Last topic today. So UMBC basketball last month, we remember the most historic upset maybe in college basketball history, knocking off number one Virginia as a 16 seed. Well, the Golden Retrievers lacrosse team did it again, this time
Whoa!
In lacrosse.
Did they really?
Knocking off number one Albany. So the Twitter game's still strong for UMBC. They added Alabama saying, Alabama football saying, hello. You know those Tide people can't take a joke.
They
got a little offended.
Oh,
UMBC
really?
Doesn't have a football team.
Right, exactly. Relax, Bama. You got the market cornered, all right? Did they really? Was it a 16-1 upset or was it like an 8-1 because they only have so many teams?
It wasn't in the tournament. It was just a regular season game. But right. Albany was number one in the country. So
Bam.
UMBC on
there
a roll.
There you go. UMBC.
Ooh,
shout out.
I could be locked
up.
Into that.
Shout out.
Good stuff. Let's get a UMBC
easy,
lacrosse
Bama.
Coach on next podcast. We'll work on that.
We'll get their hockey coach.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Good stuff
we
today.
We need a hockey person.
Yeah.
Picks and props NHL edition coming
it.
Wednesday.
Oh, picks and props NHL edition. Win all the money right here. We're going to roll over those Masters bets straight into NHL.
I
got
to start studying now.
Or maybe not.
I got you.
All right. Hey, good stuff from Nathaniel. Thanks for hitting us up with that question. And make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Ask us anything in the comment section. We'll have to get to it. We promise. And as always, follow us on Twitter and Instagram @KennellandBell.